Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're continuing our series of interviews on energy and the environment with a conversation with Vance Crocker, the Vice President of Operations for Black Hills Power. Last week, we heard from Dr. Bull Bennett, an author of the Third National Climate Assessment on the necessity to deal with global warming. And today, SDPB's Charles Michael Ray speaks with Vance Crocker about his perspective on efforts to deal with climate change while keeping the lights on.
Vance Crocker, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
I'd like to start by asking just Black Hills Power's take on new EPA emission limits. We've seen the state's congressional delegation voice opposition to some of these limits. I want to ask, do they have a negative impact on the industry as a whole, in your perspective? And how does your company look at these proposed emission limits for power plants?
Yeah, well, first off, this new EPA Clean Power Plan, part of the 111D, I would say that's one of the most sweeping EPA regulations ever. Essentially, what that is going to do to the industry, and specifically to Black Hills Corporation and Black Hills Power, is it's going to change how we do our generation resource planning. You know, right now, the way we do our resource planning, it's based on a least cost perspective. So we're looking at all the different types of resources that are out there to serve our customers in 5, 10, 15 year time frame and beyond. And we're looking at what is that least cost resource as a whole for our customers. And what this rule essentially does is it says, you know, you have to really look at it from more an emission perspective now versus a least cost resource perspective. So it is going to drive, or has a chance of driving, the costs up to the customers, because you're taking a lot of that least cost planning out of the picture.
I want to ask about, are you concerned about your business as a whole, the responsibility to your shareholders when it comes to the big picture of where we're headed in all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one thing that Black Hills Corporation and Black Hills Power does well, and I'm proud of what we do here, and I'm not just saying that just because I'm part of the company. I've seen our long-term look and our strategy. In this case, we always look ahead, and we've always been building state-of-the-art generation, and just recently we built what we call our Cheyenne Prairie Generation Station. And not only is that a state-of-the-art power plant, but that's one of the cleanest power plants, most efficient power plants in the nation. And so that is setting us up and positioning us very, very well for this clean power plan. Essentially what that does is that allows us to continue to provide very stable, reliable energy and mitigate some of the cost impacts that I talked about earlier. So I'm proud that we did, you know, that we were looking forward and doing really good planning with this.
Now, when it comes to the issue of climate change, if I can switch gears a little bit, yeah, we have seen many scientists say we're going to see an increasing potential for disasters. And I look at the 2013 October blizzard we had here, Storm Atlas, they called it. And I remember being on the conference call a few mornings after that hit, and folks here from Black Hills Power were saying that it was the worst disaster since the 1972 flood when it came to damage on infrastructure on this facility. Does that tie into your long-term planning when it comes to the vulnerability of a power grid to increased potential for disaster possibly out there?
Yeah, I think when you look at our system, one thing that we're always doing, well, there's several things that we're doing, but we've got very much a redundant system in. And yes, it was one of the worst outages we had in our history, but our system actually performed very, very well. Actually, within a week, we had most of our customers back on. One of the reasons we're able to do that, not just from a infrastructure perspective, but our resources. We have strategically placed generation resources in different locations. So it's very much diverse. We've got different fuel sources in different locations, and that's not by accident, it's actually by design. So we have that. And then we also have a lot of redundancy in our transmission system, which is our big bulk system and actually that performed very, very well. And that's really what we do to try to look at whether it's cyber attacks, whether it's storms, whether it's whatever it might be to make our grid and our power system very resilient.
With that, I want to ask a little bit about renewable energy. And many say that renewable energy needs to play a bigger role in the U.S. energy sector overall. They point to places like Hawaii, which is planning on being 100% renewable by 2050. Germany now has some days where they're producing 80% of their power from renewable energy, they say. So folks say this is totally possible with improving technology. What role does alternative energy, does renewable energy play in your future?
Yeah, so I think before we get into, you know, maybe what role it plays, I think in some of those areas, not just Germany, but also Europe and then Hawaii, when you look at the energy costs there, those areas are roughly 3 to 4 times the cost in energy prices than what we're paying here. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when you have a lot of reliance on renewables, it does tend to increase the cost of electricity. Having said that, when you look at the Clean Power Plan, at least the final rule, there's 3 building blocks, and one of those building blocks is more renewable energy to support or to reduce that carbon. And I think what you're going to see based on that Clean Power Plan, and again, subject to any sort of court action, but you're going to see, you know, renewables playing a increasing role. And you're already seeing renewables play an increasing role in energy. And I think with the Clean Power Plan, you're going to see more renewables growing faster. You know, today, in the United States, you're probably running around 4% in wind and 0.4% for solar, but you're going to see those continue to increase.
Your company obviously supports or runs the grid that all this would run on, the renewable energy. And I know that folks in your industry have also argued that a base load is pretty important, that even if you have renewable energy, you still have to have this base load that can support the grid at all times. Can you talk a little bit about those two things?
You bet. Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I appreciate you asking that. So renewable, for us and for any grid, whether it's, you know, across the ocean or here, one of the things you have to have is a good, what we call a baseload generation. And typically that's a fossil generation. It's either going to be coal or natural gas. The reason you need that is because if you have wind, if you have solar or other renewables, the wind is not going to always be blowing and the sun's not always going to be on. And that can change, you know, hour by hour, day by day. And so it's critical that as you have a big percentage of renewables on your system, you also have to have that base load generation that's either online or can come on within a moment's notice, like a fast starting gas turbine, to be able to keep the lights on. Because here in the United States, when we go to the light switch, I mean, we're really expecting 99%+ reliability. And to integrate renewables into the system, you have to have that base load or that additional backup generation to support that.
I want to ask with that a question about centralized versus decentralized energy system. And there are those backing more solar and more wind, saying we need more solar on top of houses. We need more solar on top of buildings in downtown Rapid City and other areas, for example. We need more small wind power, and all of this charging the system up. And they say this kind of decentralized system, rather than a system where there's one big power plant powering everybody, is going to be more energy efficient, more reliable, but better for the environment, to reduce carbon, and better for making us more energy independent. And I want to ask you about this idea. Is it sort of a different paradigm than what we've existed with in the past in this country?
Yeah.
Maybe this is where Germany and Hawaii are planning on going.
Yeah, and there is a lot out there, a lot of different thought paradigms around distributed resources, microgrids, things like that, and they all have, you know, pros and cons. Obviously, if you have distributed resources, if you have, let's say, rooftop solar as an example, rooftop solar is probably going to be in the neighborhood of about twice the cost of maybe a utility scale solar. So if you're looking at renewables, you know, from a cost perspective, it would probably make sense to have, you know, have those larger projects from a cost perspective as compared to a lot of the higher cost projects on rooftops or at individual. I think as you see some of these microgrids or some of this decentralized generation, you might see smaller pockets of it, maybe at larger customers' sites, if you will. So I think there's, you know, the grid right now, it does operate on a more centralized function with generation. And so, you know, one thing that's different as, you know, on the electric system as compared to the gas system is you can't really store electricity economically. Yes, there's battery systems out there where we can store it, but when you look at the type of storage it would take to store like you can natural gas, it's not out there from a cost perspective. So every second, every minute of every day, there's a group of people that's constantly managing the generation resources and the load as it's changing, and you have some generation that does that a little bit automatically. And so that's kind of been the plan now. So now if you decentralize that, now you have a whole bunch of additional resources out there that you're controlling, and how do you maintain the reliability there with all the resources and dispatch those resources? So there's pros and cons, I think, to each, and I think that as the grid starts changing, as there's more distributed resources out there, I think time will tell on that, but I think there's still a lot of uncertainty on how completely distributed grid would actually work and what those advantages or disadvantages really are.
Something Black Hills Power proposed a little while back, folks with home solar or whatever to be paying a little bit more on their bill in order to support that grid infrastructure. I think that was not approved by the PUC, or you dropped that proposal for a while.
We actually dropped that proposal. It just we thought, well, let's take back, let's do a little bit of more analysis on that, and let's have a little bit more communications with our customers, because in South Dakota, at least in our state, we've only have a handful of those, you know, of those customers. But you know, for us, it comes down a lot to, you know, we always got to look at our customers as a whole and make sure, well, if somebody can afford renewable or a big solar panel on their house, that's great and we would support that. But we don't want somebody, let's say a single fixed income person maybe up in North Belfouche that can't support a higher energy cost to not have to subsidize that. So it becomes a, you know, very much a challenge. But, you know, we have a history of providing what I would safe, reliable energy, and you know, we've actually been pretty conscious of the environment. Matter of fact, a lot of people probably don't even know that we have wind in our portfolio. And when it comes to emissions that we were earlier talking about, over the last several years, we've actually reduced our emissions by over 50%, while at the same time increasing our generation. So a lot of good stuff is actually, you know, already happened and continues to happen to be good stewards of the environment. But there's things like the Clean Power Plan that, you know, we've got to address as well.
With that, I want to ask one final question, a sort of a big picture question. We're hearing from some politicians and certainly from some scientists a critique of the whole system, that when we have an energy system that's based on profit instead of the environment, and given the critical needs, they say, for dealing with climate change in a real way, we're getting to the point, many say, where we don't have the luxury of being able to make slow, easy changes anymore. We're going to have to make radical changes if we're going to save some pretty catastrophic things from happening even in the near future by 2050. If we have an energy system that's based on profit, too much, do you have to be too beholden to your shareholders in order to get things done? Do we need a different system here? How do you respond to some of those critiques?
Yeah, again, I think that's a great question. But if we, with some of these rules that came out, whether it's a renewable requirement or some additional form of generation we're required to build, if we completely took our customer hat off and said, okay, we're just going to go ahead and invest and increase rates. Well, that's going to be good financially for us, but it's not going to be good for the customer. So as we're balancing these things and we're saying this is going to be impact to our customer, that impact to the customer could be, you know, a benefit, you know, from a revenue perspective. So if we just, you know, completely, again, took our customer hat off and just invested, that would be great for our company from a financial perspective. But we are actually not doing that. We're kind of fighting against that, saying we got to look out for our customer as well.
But I guess what I'm asking is, rather than taking the customer hat off, can you take the shareholder hat off or the profit hat off? If the company didn't have to have increasing profits all the time, which all companies do, they have to prove that they can grow. And that money was transferred back to the customers rather than having a larger profit margin. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I do. And I think what's important for everyone to understand with especially electric utilities, as an example, it takes an enormous amount of capital, of dollars, to actually build transmission lines and build power plants. Very, very capital intensive. One of the most capital intensive industries out there. And we don't have that cash just hanging around. So we have to get that from banks, from our investors. So it is part of the business model where we've actually have to get that capital from somebody else because we don't have it. One of the concerns you can have, and others have run into this, is if that money dries up, then you can no longer invest in projects to ensure reliability and all these other things, and then things start getting cut. Your reliability, your customer service, all that goes downhill. And from a reliability perspective, we're in the top 25% nationwide in reliability, and we're able to do that because we're able to get that capital, invest, and properly and prudently manage our system.
Well, Vance Crocker, Vice President of Black Hills Power, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.